even a little cool. Okay, so today we continue on the Philippians message. Okay. Philippians is a letter of Paul that writes to the Philippian church, obviously. Okay. And actually, Paul helps to start his church in Philippians in his second journey, okay? In his second mission journey, okay? So the Philippians were actually, I think they were retired, a lot of them were retired soldiers, Roman soldiers that lived in Philippi, okay? I was lucky that I had the chance to visit Philippi. It was like a little bit close to the sea. I can remember, and there's a lot of Roman remains there. You know, the gates, the wall, the city wall, all that. But at that time, I think Philippi was quite a city that's quite vibrant. Because it's close to the sea, a lot of people from different parts of neighboring cities will come and visit. And also, it's also a city for trade as well, a center for trade and everything. So, and the Philippian Christians were under a lot of opposition, and their church has some issues. Okay, that's why Paul is writing to them to encourage them and help them to address those issues. Okay, so today we have a look at what Paul's writing to the Philippian church, and I guess through those words of encouragement and probably a little bit of prompting to the Philippians, I think it's also a good reflection for us. How our church are going? How are we going with our Christian life? You know, with our own spiritual journey. It's the beginning of the year, so it's a good time to reflect and plan. You know. So I encourage you to, yes, open your Bible. If you have your physical Bible or if you have your Bible app, please get onto your Bible app on Philippians 2. Okay? Before we dive into words, let's have a prayer. Okay? Father God, thank you. Thank you that you are the living God. You're not just sitting in the heavenly throne, but you are with us. And you walk every step with us in our everyday life. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Spirit. Lord, help us to, today as we're learning the scripture from Philippians, Lord, we just ask that you help us to understand the deeper meanings underneath those words. And also, Lord, help us to open our hearts to your words, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, Philippians 2, verse 1. Let's see. Verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Now, Paul, I think if you have read Paul's letters or you study Romans, you know that every time he uses therefore to start the sentence, he's actually talking about something what he mentioned before as well. Okay, so in Philippians 2 verse 1, he started with therefore. That means we have to look at parts of Philippians 1 and see what is actually meant. Because what he's talking about in Philippians 1, therefore you need to do all this. Okay, therefore, you know, if you have any encouragement, any comfort from his love, any common sharing of spirits, any tenderness and compassion, then you have to do all these things with like-minded, same love, one in spirit and one mind. Okay, so let's turn your page and go to Philippians 1. I think Tony already preached on the first part of Philippians 1 about partnerships and everything. Okay, so I'm not going into details on that. So we started in Philippians verse 12. Paul is in prison, in Rome. He's in chain. Okay, but he's not down. He's not, you know, like really depressed. But he's actually writing letters to encourage the Philippians. And he even mentioned that, you know, although I'm in chain, but actually, because I'm in chain, my brothers and sisters have become more confident, have stronger faith in proclaiming the gospel without fear. And also, he talks about he's actually rejoicing because the gospel is preached. The gospel is advanced. I like that word, advanced, because it's with action. It's not just talking. Okay, he's advancing the gospel. Are we advancing the gospel, guys? Or are we just talking? I think it's something that we need to think about. And then he carry on saying, whether life or death, doesn't matter. For me, I will rejoice as long as Christ is preached. As long as the gospel is preached. And he continued to say that, guys, you need to, whatever happens, he knows the Philippian church is under a lot of opposition. He knows there's a lot of problems in the Philippian church. And his word of encouragement is, guys, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. And like Philippian church to stand firm in one spirit and striving together as one for the faith of the gospel without fear. So that's what therefore is talking about. That means the gospel should be the main thing for your church. Advancing the gospel, no matter what situation, should be the main theme of your church ministry. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the spirits, If any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one spirit, one in spirit, and of one mind.
What's Paul talking about?
If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, that's something getting baptized. Yeah? Receiving Christ as the Lord and Savior. Any common sharing in the Spirit? Anybody has experience of common sharing in the Spirit? I'm sure Tony has. No? You have. Most of you have. When we pray together, we are having common sharing. We're having a fellowship in the Spirit. So if you want to have more fellowship in the Spirit, what do you do? Join the church prayer meeting. Sorry, that's advertisement. So it is. If you want to have more common sharing, more fellowship in the Spirit, you need to pray with others. You pray with your brothers and sisters. Okay? That's what Paul meant by common sharing in the Spirit. If you have experienced God's tenderness and compassion, then you need to do all that in one, in unity. If you, what I've just mentioned is actually that's things that we do in church, right? We're baptizing people, sharing, advancing the gospel, sharing the spirits, fellowship with spirits, and also trying to even share our God's tenderness and compassion that we have experienced from God to people around us, to our friends, to our loved ones. But you can't do that. What Paul is saying, that he knows that a church that is not united, that has problems with unity, cannot do all this properly and will not bring honor and glory to God. So therefore, if you have experienced all that, you have to do all this in unity, and that will bring joy to Paul, or in our situation, to God, to Christ. Now, unity is a big thing. You can have, you can write a thesis on that thing. And I share with you some problems we had years ago in CC. Okay? But that was a long time ago. I was just elected as a deacon at that time, and we had a female pastor did one thing. I'm not sure, some of you might be in the church at that time. So it was Easter. It was Easter. And She made, it was the Easter service, she made all the brothers and sisters write down all their sins, all the things that they want to commit to God on a piece of paper. And then she set up a little bowl in front in the church hall. And then she asked all the brothers and sisters to put all the paper in there. And then she prayed. And she said, this symbolizes, God has taken away all your sins. And obviously she's, pray about it and all that. But after the service, we received a lot of complaints from brothers and sisters. And you know what the complaint is? Because in Chinese culture, they do a lot of that. In the Buddhism practice, they burn incense, they burn all these paper cards, paper. I remember when I was a little child, they don't do that anymore. In Hong Kong, sorry, I was from Hong Kong, and I'm from Hong Kong, and they do a lot of those things. After people's death, they burn a lot of incense, and then they burn all these paper cars, paper houses, and then put paper notes as well, fake ones, obviously. And they're supposed to, when they burn it, they can go to their ancestor or whatever. And I think some brothers are just a bit concerned, not happy with, what she did. And there was a big uproar. And the church was divided. Some brothers and sisters look at it as, well, that's just her way of trying to symbolize how God take away your sins, But other brothers and sisters, other brothers and sisters say, no, you never, as a pastor, you shouldn't do this, that's no good, And so the church was divided. I tell you, at that time, I was just, I think I was first or second year as a deacon. I had no idea what that meant. Oh my God, what should we do? And we dragged on and on for quite some months. The church was hurt, was badly hurt. And I still remember those, we had meetings until 2 o'clock in the morning in Uncle Eric's house. I still remember that. And end up during that six months time, the church was doing nothing, can't do anything. All the ministry was, stalled. I think all the energy of the pastors and the leaders were all used in trying to settle this problem, this disunity within the church. And end up, I remember our mother church sent a senior pastor down and help us to sort it out. Okay? So, and that story was not an actual story, it's actually true events. Okay? It tells us how important it is for a church to be united. If we're divided, there is no advance of the gospel. No way we can do what God wants us to do. because our mind is occupied with other things. So it is important to be united, to be in unity. But how can we be in unity? Let's have a look at, because we're all different, we all come from different backgrounds, we all have different talents, experiences. But Paul mentioned that in 1 Corinthians about a body of Christ. Let me read it for you. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 starting. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributed them to each one just as he determined. So we all have different gifts and talents. That what makes us up, our history, our, you know, how we grow up. But what the scripture is saying, all the gifts are coming from God. So don't be too proud about how good you are, about how good your academic results are, about how good your achievements in your career are, about how good you can manage your finance or whatever. Even when you're serving, no matter how good you are, whether you are prophesying or whether you are teaching or whether you are loving your brothers or advancing the gospel, all these gifts come from God, from one Spirit. And because we all have different functions, Paul continues to say, just as one body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So if the foot say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. And that shouldn't be the reason to stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an ear, on an eye, I do not belong to the body. And it should not be the reason that stop being part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one parts, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, So Paul is talking about we are body of Christ. Although we are all different, we might have talents in doing different things, like what I've said. Some might be very good in, you know, sharing the gospel with others. Some will be very good in worshiping. Some will be very good in prophesying. Some will be very good in having fellowship with brothers and sisters, praying for the brothers and sisters. And some even have that miraculous powers of praying for healing. But although we are different parts of the body, although you might be the foot, the head, the eye, the ear, but we are one body. If we are not one body, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And that's what Paul is addressing to the Philippians. They obviously, if you read it from the words that you write to them, that they probably have some disunity problem. That's why Paul is trying to encourage them. So if you, when you're doing your church, whether you are, you know, doing any kind of ministry, whether it's worship, mission, or, you know, organizing fellowships, praying for each other or one another, you need to be one in spirit and of one mind and having the same love that God is showering on us. That's the only way you can advance the gospel. Let's look at before in verse 1, in chapter 1. Remember, we talked about Paul is talking about advancing the gospel no matter what situation, whether it's, you know, whether it's in chains or whether it's free, whether it's life or death, advance the gospel. But to advance the gospel, you have to be in God. You have to do it in one mind. That one mindset is honoring God and advance the gospel. And rely on the spirits to help you. Not your own mind or your own not out of your own. In verse 3 he said, do nothing out of your selfish ambition or vain conceits, rather in humility. Do everything in humility. Because to be unified, you need to humble yourself. Imagine if, and that's a perfect example of what I've just said about our church years ago that experienced that 6 months of turmoil. It's because some brothers and sisters think, or one group of brothers and sisters think, well, we're right. Definitely not wrong. Not right to do all that. Okay? And the other group of sisters hold on to their beliefs and say, that's okay. You know? But then they don't give in to each other's, you know, thinking, thoughts. So to be in unity, Paul was talking about very important that to be united, one very, very important ingredient is humility. You need to humble yourself. And Paul mentioned a very Very good example.
That's Christ.
Jesus Christ is God. His exact position is God, as we know. Three in one. Through being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality of God something that he can use to his advantage, but rather he made himself nothing by taking the nature of a servant. Can you imagine God in the heavenly realm made himself a servant and being, and that servant serves on us. He came to serve us, not to serve the angels, not to serve anyone, but to serve us. And being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So Paul is talking about a perfect example about humility. And he thinks, he mentioned that to the Philippians because he thinks humility is what they're lacking in the church. They're too proud. They stick to their own idea. They do not consider other people's ideas better than yours. And only look to their own interest, but not to the interest of others. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, it's amazing. Who is God Himself, did not claim anything from being God, but he came down to live with us for 30-something years. He experienced all that we have experienced or encountered. Life, sickness, joy, death, betrayal, and everything. So he can identify with us. That's why our Christ, our Lord, our God is a living God. He comes to live with us and experience all that we have gone through. He understands what he has gone through. Whatever, how we do life. You know, you might have experienced, a lot of things in your life right now. Maybe it's some pressure from work, maybe it's some pressure from school, uni, or even from your peers. But God knows them all. And He's willing to help us. He comes to us. He reaches out for us. I'm one of those naughty ones in school. That's the first time I have contact with Christianity. It's from my school. I studied in a Christian school, Methodist College. Heard about Methodist College in Hong Kong. It was a sort of a government granted high school. And we had Bible lessons as well in those days. But I learned all about the Bible, but that's only stories to me. I have no relationship. But the seeds were planted. I know there's actually a creator. I know there is a God, but I choose not to have any connections with him. So, but after I came here, that was 1991, I was very blessed that one of my old colleagues from Hong Kong invited me to church. And at that time, I think it's the first time I have experienced God in my life. I was actually under a lot of stress at that time. I was in a new country, no jobs at that time, no jobs. And kids were young, Emerald wasn't born, only had Mandy with me. She was only a year and a half. And but I was still quite, I would say, stiff heart, or what's the right word for it? My heart is still very hard. You know, although I went to church, but I didn't sort of like still. I have a lot of questions. I'm a science student. Okay, I'm a physiotherapist, so I study science, and always have all these questions. Why is he not doing that? Why is he doing this? And why is he don't do this first? And how does it happen? You know, all that. And one day I was just sitting at the church listening to the sermon, just like what you guys are doing. And all of a sudden, this tiny voice comes to my head. I can't remember even what the sermon is all about. But that tiny voice came to my head and said, You have your little brain here trying to find answers to explain the wisdom of a God that created the universe. How silly you are. And it was like that blink, ding. My mind just opened. Oh my God, yes. Because I do believe there's a creator. But I don't believe, I want to have all the answers for this before I accepted Christ. So, from that moment, I surrounded myself to God. And from that moment onwards, never look back, because God is such a good God. He always there for me. He always looks after me, he walks with me. He even helped me to solve a lot of problems. I do have my highs and lows in my, in my life journey, and I remember if it's not for God, I don't think I would be standing here talking to you. So, Christ sets a perfect example for humility, and it's worth to get to know him. If you have not had a chance to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to accept Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to take some action. At least to learn more about it before you make a decision. Because it is such a blessing to know Christ. And as Christ has set up a perfect example for humility, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that's above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven, on earth, and under the earth,
And every tongue acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we know how much, what sort of God we actually believe in. And as we continue with the scripture, another therefore. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. So it's another therefore then. So it talks about before the therefore, what did Christ talk about? What did Paul talk about? Talks about you need to be in unity when you serve the Lord. You need to advance the gospel. You need to stand firm in your faith. You need to strive together as one as you face opposition. But to do that, you have to be, you know, humble yourself. You have to humble yourself. If you don't humble yourself, there will be trouble for your church. So you need to humble yourself to be unified. And when you unify as a church, you are very powerful in God. You get that strength from the Lord, from the Spirit, to do what He wants you to do. And therefore, that's what Paul is saying. Continue to work out your salvation. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. Anyone do workouts here? Workouts in the gym? Yes? Okay, how do you do your workouts? Tell me, how do you do your workouts? You don't just go to the gym and randomly do things. You have a plan, right? You write up like a schedule, okay, I warm up. I'm a physio, so I know all these. So you do your warm-ups, or you know, some stretches, or some, you know, running on the treadmill or whatever, just to warm yourself up. And then you have your set of exercises. You might have some for start with your upper limb, you know, or your pec decks, or your bicep curls, your triceps, your leg dorsi pulls, and then you move on to your legs and all that. So you do have a plan. How do you work out your salvation? Have you applied? Also, when you do workouts, you don't just do it once and leave it there for 3 months. Doesn't work, right? I'm sure you do.
So when you do your salvation, I've always thought about it. You need to have a plan. Also, you gotta practice regularly. You don't just do it once and turn up 3 months later and do another one. Like what Paul just mentioned in the beginning of Philippians 2, encouragement from being united with Christ. Encourage people to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Any comfort from His love. He's sharing what's love. Any come and share in the Spirit. Pray with each other. Pray for others. And also share God's tenderness and compassion to the people around. That's, well, part of what doing church. But God, Paul is saying that, you need to work out your salvation. You need to make a plan to make it happen.
Thank you. Can you already be done? You need to make a plan to make it happen. And you need to practice regularly. Not once in a while. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. Now that salvation plan is not coming from you. It's from God. You need to ask God what that plan for you is. Everyone is different. For someone, it might be participating in a mission work, joining a mission team. But for others, it might be just praying for them, supporting them, or preparing things for them. I'll just take an example, for the mission trip, we just let a team of our brothers and sisters went, So we need to pray and ask God to show us His will and to take action, to act in order to fulfill that His good purpose, His will for you. Now I remember, I always have a problem. I'm a problem child. I asked a lot of questions when I was a younger Christian. I said, how do I learn it's God's will? How do you learn it's God's will? Any suggestions? I went to BSF for quite some time, completed my 7th year sort of thing. I think I did 40, 2 rounds. Anyway, it's a very good place to learn about the Word of God. I would encourage you to do that. A lot of that is actually online now. You don't have to be physically there. You can do it online, and they do study the Word of God in depth. And also they use an approach that helps you to meditate on the Word and let the Spirit tell you what that Word, what that Scripture means to you in this stage of your life. Now this is how the Word of God is alive, because even though you read, I remember I read probably Genesis 3 times and Matthew a number of times. The only book that I only read once was Revelation. But even I read through Genesis 3 times, every time I read through it, some verse actually has a different meaning to me. You know why? Because I'm in a different life situation at that time. That word, that scripture is a total new meaning to me from that perspective. So, anyway, back to what I'm talking about, learning about the Word of God. So I learned from BSF, there's three pillars they said. Number one, always the Word of God. Always would not go, the will of God will not go out of that border within the Word of God. So it won't go against the Word of God. If it goes against the Word of God, because, I had brothers and sisters, I've been in church for many years, and I had brothers and sisters come to me and say, I have this vision, and this is. Okay, all right. And I said, we'll bring the water to this guy. But sometimes those
visions or things that they have are actually outside the boundary of the Word of God. It actually against some of the teachings of the Bible. So let's So number one, it needs to be aligned with the Word of God. Number two, you need to have confirmation from your brothers and sisters. Now I like that because throughout my ministries, I learned if God wants you to do one thing, He won't just tell you. He will tell a few brothers or sisters, and they will come to confirm you that this is God's will. And this is very important. So don't just say, wow, I wake up, last night I had a dream, and I wake up, I get this, vision from God, I need to do all this for the church, or the church needs to go this way. No, we need to be patient and see and pray and see if you have confirmation from your brothers and sisters. And that's very important. The last one is when you pray for that will of God, you will have a transcendent peace in your heart and joy in your heart. I think if some of you have asked, well, are in ministry, I'm sure you have experienced that transcendent peace in your heart. And that joy in your heart is different from what you like. I buy a new phone. I'm very happy. It's totally different. Not from that kind of joy. That joy is right from the bottom of your heart. So it's important that we work out our salvation, and we need to go according to the will of God. We need to pray for it. We need to get confirmation, and we need to make sure that to be the boundary of the Word of God. I will add one more. We talked to one of your elders, leaders, pastors about it, because they have the calling of God, and they might have a special, ability to interpret it. Okay? So how are we training? How are we training? The $1 million question. How are we training? Are we putting the main purpose of our church as advancing the gospel? How are you participating in advancing the gospel? We have mission activities run by the Chinese side a few times last year. If you guys, any one of you participated in it? This mission journey, missional trip. Thank you. Then we have some brothers from our church that went to mission trips. Also, food bank. We have food bank, which outreach, reach out to our neighbors and the people in need in this community. So we're not doing too bad as a church, but are we participating in it? Are you actively participating in it? That's the question I'd like to ask. Also, are we doing the fellowship of the Spirit enough? Praying for each other.
church. I'd like to see that happen. And we did it quite a few times. After church, we just stay around and go in small groups. And I think it's a beautiful picture. Let the Spirit talk to each other. And you will experience that joy as well when you get there. Also, are we showing tenderness and compassion for people around us, for people that you have contact with? I know it's running late. My sermon is long. Sorry. One last share. Last year, I have an uncle that passed away. Uncle that looks after my CCC since childhood, very dear to her heart. But it was a sudden death, you know, which he heart attack and passed away. And we were so guilty because we didn't have a chance to bring him to Christ. And I'm just guilty because I'm not sure whether I don't have enough compassion for the ones that haven't accepted Christ. There's an urgency, guys. We might not be there. We need to look at people out there. I think the majority of them have not accepted Christ. And there's an urgency. And if you have compassion towards them, you know what they're going to go through. And you should share the gospel with them. And last of all, have you set out your salvation work out plan? What's your salvation work out plan? Whether it be reading the Bible every day, in short time. Have at least 10-15 minutes a quiet time with Christ. Have some short prayer. And even listen to some worship music on the way to work or to school with me. That's a good time. And participate in the ministry that's advancing the gospel. Thank you. That's all I'm going to say today. Sorry, I'm a little bit late. I hope you enjoyed it and you got something to take home, to work on. Let's pray. Shall we? Father, thank you. Thank you for the message. Thank you that you, through Paul's letters, you let us know that the most important thing is advancing the gospel. And we can't achieve that without being united in one as one. And we can't be united unless we have a humble spirit. Jesus Christ has given up his life for us and for us. Lord, help us to reflect on our spiritual journey, our spiritual life now, Lord. Help us to set up this salvation plan and work it out to bring honor and glory to you. We pray.